Jesus' name. It's good to be here. Many aspects of the worship were meaningful, and I was blessed by the Sunday school discussion, and I was asked the question in Sunday school class downstairs, what is it to bring the Canaanites to tribute? That phrase was in there, and I just had to think about many applications you could make there, but not utterly driving them out, bring the Canaanites to tribute, but not utterly driving them out. Halfway Christianity. And I had to think about, ponder that, and there were many other thoughts were good too in the class. I'm drawn to Luke 2 this morning for a sermon, and I think we'll start reading in verse 20 and read through 35. Verse 20 says, "And the shepherds, returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named in the named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Now, for many of you, this might be familiar, but for many of us, it might not be familiar that the Bible was continually referring back to the law of Moses in the Old Testament, law of Leviticus, or book of Leviticus, and so forth. Verse 23, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." That was specifically the Lord's property to for a male that openeth the womb, that whether it was animals or people, that was the Lord's. "And to offer the sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now, a couple, when they had a baby, they brought a sacrifice to the temple. And those were fairly well to do. They brought a sacrifice of a lamb. And but the ones who were poor brought a sacrifice of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. So just that's the setting. This is Mary and Joseph. They brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I'm not sure which they brought, but they brought that. It was a cheaper version of the sacrifice, because that's what they could afford. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law, they took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now imagine with me going to the temple. And many people went to the temple. That was their church then. Imagine me going to the temple and there's this old guy, there's this old man at the temple just about every day. And you would go up to Simeon and say, Hey, Simeon, what are you going to do today? And what are you up to? He said, I'm waiting. Waiting for what? He said, I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel. And day after day, they would ask Simeon the same question. What are you up to, Simeon? He said, I'm waiting. For the consolation of Israel. Someday, I believe that there will be a baby born that will come to the temple for purification and for circumcision. That is the Messiah. And it will be the means of saving all people. And I want to develop this a little bit further this morning about the man Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. So the title of the sermon is Simeon, Waiting for the Consolation of Israel. Christmas is a time of giving. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of joy. It's also a time of getting together with the family. All of these activities have roots in the Christmas story. These activities are not wrong, but as we already heard in the devotions this morning, taken to the excess like it is in our society, where the real reason for Christmas is lost in selfishness and commercialism. The real meaning is the advent or the birth of Jesus through the lowly handmaid of the Lord, Mary. And as Dennis already implied this morning in Philippians 2, it says that God, Jesus, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. The pattern for the coming of Jesus as the Son of God is to, the word humbled there in Philippians 2 means emptying. Emptying yourself. He emptied himself of the glory of heaven. He emptied himself of all that he could have had. And he came down here and he became obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. And the most lowly and wicked, violent death that could be. The world we live in is inundated with violence, with broken marriages, broken relationships. And I could read you a bunch of statistics about violence and about broken marriages and how many people are out wishing they were with someone and they have no one to be with. We could read a lot of statistics like that. But dear ones, today, if Christmas is a time of hope and joy, what is wrong with our society when last Saturday at Brown University, someone opened up with a gun and shot, what was it, 15 people and killed a number of them, two or three. And over in the beaches of Bondi in Australia, another person opened up and killed, a mass killing. And what's wrong? We live in a world that badly needs hope. And a message on a method to restore hope and healing. The society we live among has few answers for the wanton disregard for each other. They try another social program. There's always a call for limiting weapons. The message of the angels declaring Jesus' birth said in early Luke 2, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." The intense desire of every man is that they would live in peace. Isn't that true? Wouldn't you like to live in peace? Well, you can. The pattern of Jesus is the answer to peace on earth. It is humility and making yourself of no reputation, of every selfish desire, and serving others. It definitely is not found in spending large sums of money on gifts and the accompanying commercialism that goes with it. We've already read our text this morning. The purpose of this message is to find the significance, to look at the significance of the birth of Jesus from a man named Simeon. Many times, the significance of this is overlooked in the Christmas story, but it's right here with the Christmas story. I would like to. There is mistaken belief among many well-meaning people to look for a yet future kingdom of Christ that will be set up with the Jews. The words of Simeon seem to say that Israel's hope was found in Jesus Christ. I want to look at the character of Simeon first. Now, this is the only place, these verses that we read is the only place where this Simeon is mentioned in the Bible. And so I want to just go down over some of the things that I gleaned from this study. The significance of Simeon from the text, he was from Jerusalem. He was no doubt a Jew. He was just and devout. He was faithful. He was not one of these hypocrites. He was just and devout. And he waited for the consolation of Israel. He's an old man. And we'll look at that in just a little bit about some of the Jewish traditions about Simeon. And verse 25 says some interesting things to say about him. Says that he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon had the Holy Ghost that would dwell with him and guide him. And it was revealed to him through the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What an amazing incident. He knew that he wasn't going to die until Jesus was born. And so he would wait there in the temple and every day I think he would see a baby come in there and he would scope it out and he would say, "I wonder if that's Jesus." And then the next day he'd come, another new baby would come for circumcision and purification. And I wonder if that's Jesus. But Simeon waited and waited and waited for the consolation of Israel. And that means the hope of all people. And we'll look at that a little bit later. One of the things about Simeon was that he was a student of the law of Israel, and he knew what he was expecting. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but legend has it that Simeon was one of the 70 men who translated the Hebrew Old Testament into the Septuagint, which is the Greek. And they were learned men. They were smart. They were intellectuals. And he was translating one day in the book of Isaiah. And he came to this verse. He came to the verse Isaiah 7:14 that says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And they said that Simeon was thinking that I'm going to change the name, the wording there from virgin to a young woman. And he said, I just think it would be better to change it to a young woman rather than a virgin. And so he started to write. And this is all legend now, I will say. It's not in the scriptures. But legend has it that there's an angel came down and he took him by the hand and he said to Simeon, "Don't change the word virgin to a young woman. Let it be virgin." And he said, "Furthermore, you will be alive when this man comes." And I'm not sure if that's exactly the way it was. I'm not even sure about the dating and so forth. But it was very interesting to me to find that out, that likely Simeon was one of the translators of the Septuagint, took the Hebrew Old Testament and made it into Greek. So again, I want to say that's a legend. He believed the prophecies of the coming of Israel. He lived most of his life before Jesus was born. He no doubt had been a student of Israel's promises and its rise and prosperity under David and its apostasy and decline under Jeremiah and Ezekiel and so forth. He was revealed a promise by the Holy Ghost that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. That's found in verse 26. And this old Simeon, no doubt a renowned intellectual old man, went to the temple every day waiting on the consolation of Israel. And when Mary and Joseph came for the purification, the circumcision of Jesus on the eighth day, the Holy Spirit told Simeon, "There he is! There he is! That's the Messiah!" He knew it. Mary and Joseph. I believe Simeon went up to them. Can you imagine? Mary and Joseph, trembling before this great teacher of the law. And he said, "Can I hold your baby?" And Mary Mary slowly gave it to him. And he said, "Ah, yes, here is the consolation of Israel." Simeon was a unusual, unique man, according to many traditions. Matthew Henry says that he had succeeded his father as the head of the school of Jewish law at Jerusalem. He had attained the highest rank of teaching and was given the title of rabbin, which only seven other teachers were given. He was put as a role of a teacher because he prophesied about Jesus coming. What Simeon believed was widely accepted, and what he taught was widely accepted. It gave credibility and would confirm it in the minds of others. But you know, you see Joseph and Mary. Mary was a young lady. And she was no doubt apprehensive about this whole thing. And she was searching for confirmation. Joseph and Mary were searching for confirmation. And Simeon, the renowned teacher of the law, asking to have my baby in my arms. No doubt he had a graying beard, graying hair, and wrinkled face. The tender moment of realizing the importance of that moment was here. And he said, Simeon, verse 28 said, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy work, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" What a moment. What a moment. Simeon holding Jesus, recognizing that he was the Messiah. Simeon took the baby in his arms and blessed God. And I said, and I believe he looked down on him. He said, "This is him. This is the Messiah." No doubt Simeon had heard the rumor that the baby was illegitimate. He had heard that Joseph was going to put her away. He could have known that. But Simeon remembered that long ago day when the angel told him that likely, or that you will be living when the Messiah is born. Go to the temple and wait for him. He will be born of a virgin. Simeon knew many things. Simeon knew many things. Simeon knew that the law of Jewish law was insufficient. He knew that he agreed with the Apostle Paul, later born, for what the law could undo, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It was superior. This Jesus was going to initiate a covenant that was superior. Galatians 4 says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. What a privilege that we have today. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. That was Jesus. That was Jesus in his arms. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, it says in Hebrews 10, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The law could make no one perfect. This Jesus in his arms could make people perfect. Israel had broken the covenant with God. Israel had forfeited the condition of the promises of the land or territory for the nation of Israel. He remembered the words of Jeremiah. He said this. Jeremiah said that if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not his blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. The condition of the territory of Israel, the land promises, are always conditional upon their faithfulness. Dear ones, I'm not picking on the Jews. We as Gentiles also have a sin problem. And we, and in Psalm 14, it says that they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And when Joseph and Mary heard the words, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, no doubt they knew that they were on to something big, something important from Simeon. Today, what can we learn from Simeon? That's what I'd like to talk about the last couple minutes here. Simeon's prophecy of the coming of the New Testament era. Well, number one is, we can rest in the promises of God that he will fulfill his promises. This morning, the promise of God is this, that Jesus is coming back for his second advent, and that we can know that he is coming back. He'll open the heavens, not coming as a babe in the manger, but he'll come with all his mighty angels, and the heavens shall open. He has promised that. Are we going to be Simeons that are waiting for Jesus to come? Number two, found in verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said Mary unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the rising again and the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Simeon prophesied here that the ministry of Jesus was not going to be popular to the masses. Dear ones, this morning, the commercialism of Christmas is very popular. what the real meaning of Christmas, you might say the advent of our Lord. I don't like to use the word Christmas that much, but because we talk about it, we know what we mean. Simeon knew that Jesus' ministry was not going to be popular to the masses. Commercialism and giving of gifts is very popular. But dear ones, this morning, Simeon said, it's a sign that shall be spoken against. Jesus was hated. That little baby in his arms grew up to be a man, and he was a hated man. He brought division. Brought division to many. Separated families. Separated societies. He's still doing that. Number three, the answer to all humanity's need is in the gospel, was in that baby, was in that in the arms of Simeon. He was the light, to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Today, we have the light. We have the light to lighten the Gentiles. And it's the glory of the people Israel also. Can you turn on the light in your corner of the world, like the songwriter says? A light to lighten the Gentiles. The world is dark out there. And the baby Jesus was the one who gave light. Peter said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. This Messiah. Number four, Simeon knew that Mary would stand at the foot of the cross and view the ghastly wounds of her son, and it would pierce her soul. Verse 35. Yea, sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. Mary was standing at the cross of this young, of this eight-day-old baby, 33 years later. And Simeon prophesied that her heart would be pierced. And indeed it was. She viewed the ghastly wounds of Jesus. The pierced side. The crown of thorns. All that, this was her son. This was her son, Jesus. Number five, the glory of the people of Israel was fulfilled in Christ, not in military triumphs on the battlefield. Folks, the inward nature, number six, of the realization of the divine power that Jesus unleashed by his dying and resurrection is amazing. And we are transformed. We can have this new nature within us. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the first and also to the Greek. This Christmas season, can you look at the baby Jesus like Simeon did? And it's a good thing that we worship the incarnation and coming of the baby Jesus. It makes for a beautiful season of the year as we celebrate his birth. He came to this world in the most unlikely circumstances as a baby. He was recognized as the Son of God by a few faithfuls like Simeon in an apostate nation of Israel. He was not only recognized, but he was adored and worshiped by a just and devout man called Simeon, who declared him to be the salvation of all men, the consolation of Israel, the glory of thy people Israel. Can you give thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers in the saints of light? That's why Jesus came. Not to be a baby, but he came to grow into manhood and to preach and to minister to us. Let's pray.